One block away from the house I grew up in was a small movie store called Lexington Video. It was independently owned, and I walked there to rent VHS tapes almost every day. Later, Lexington Video would become my high school job. And now, in 2013, when video on demand and streaming services are the norm, I often catch myself thinking about the glory days of video stores and VHS. I'm not alone. VHS culture is still a thing, and it's explored in the new documentary, Rewind This.
VHS had an unusually long life for a home video format. And I think that is something that we'll never see happen again. We'll never see Blu-ray dominate the market for 15 years. It just won't happen.
In Rewind This, we see interviews with VHS aficionados, indie studio heads who made a killing during the VHS boom, and producers who thought the media type was actually a disgrace.
I looked at a few of them. I was appalled at the improper aspect ratios and the lack of rich contrasts and resolution, and never did buy one, and predicted they wouldn't catch on.
But the core of Rewind This is about the nostalgia of VHS, going to the video store, putting a tape into the VCR, pressing fast forward, or pressing rewind.
For me, as a kid that was really obsessed with movies, it was this incredible opportunity because I could go to a store and have a seemingly endless selection of current films, vintage films, films of every conceivable type, and have at it. Just really select whatever I wanted to see.
That's Josh Johnson, the director of Rewind This. Using Kickstarter, the documentary raised over $23,000 for production. And Rewind This had its premiere at the South by Southwest Film Festival earlier in the year. Now, when you got the idea, you and your pals, to make this documentary, Rewind This, were there any particular aspects of the VHS that you wanted to explore and that culture that you want to explore? Did it just come to you as you were filming?
The main motivating factor was to, talk to people that were still collecting these videotapes or that were still, really passionate about this and kind of get under the skin, as it were, of like what was motivating that, because it had been a dead format already for several years. There were no new commercial tapes coming out, so it was interesting to find out and investigate why that would happen and why people were still interested in this. But as we started doing that, it started to look like that would be kind of a narrow focus, that story of the home video revolution and how it came about and how that rippled down to what we have today. That became exciting to tell. And then it also became something that, incorporated the history of the format as well. And we kept, trying to find different other angles and different other avenues into, exploring this subject.
Well, video took cinema out of the movie theater. So, it takes a lot of money to build a movie theater. It takes a lot of seats. You just put the seats in. You have to get all the people to sit in the seats to make it, profitable. And so I think if you say worldwide, I think it was kind of like a democratization. It was a form of wider exposure.
I mean, you interviewed people like Lloyd Kaufman of Troma Films and Charles Band, and I saw, Toxic Avenger and Puppet Master on VHS for the first time. When talking to these people, was there any one idea about the VHS that constantly kept entering the conversation, as far as there was kind of this singular topic that everyone kind of understood and they were saying the same thing?
What was definitely consistent among everybody that we talked to that was like there during that time and was releasing things on the format is the democratization of the media. That because all of these stores were opening and they needed content, and especially because the major studios were kind of slow to catch on, all of these independent labels like Troma or, like many labels that Charles Band started, they were able to release product into a market that was really hungry for it and be very successful with that at a time where, if they were to try to do the same in the theatrical arena, it would have been a lot more difficult. So you ended up with huge Hollywood movies right next to these smaller films on the shelf, and people would select whatever seemed most interesting without any idea of like how much either cost. So it really evened the playing field in a way that had never happened before.
And how would that be different than, say, right now with Netflix, when anyone can say they want to stream some B-movie action flick opposed to a Hollywood flick?
The key difference is that now there's sort of a corporate entity that's acting as the middleman between that content and you. Whereas with like a mom and pop video store, it's, you know, somebody local to your community that's making decisions for themselves, and they're not beholden to any kind of, you know, board of trustees or anything like that. So you could go into a mom and pop video store, and they could have a section that had even the most outrageous content, you know, stuff that would never pop up on Netflix for obvious reasons, but, you know, they weren't really beholden to anybody but themselves and what they wanted to do with their business. So that individualism isn't really there. But the basic idea that, you know, mainstream Hollywood product and small independent films sitting side by side, that's something that is now, you know, part of the experience with Netflix. You can still have that experience, like stumbling across something that you've never heard of and giving it a try.
That was an era of great equivalency of video stores. I think people would rent anything with a cover that interested them. And it wasn't about studio, it wasn't about movie star, it wasn't about budget. When you're looking at a shelf, it's very democratic. The best cover catches your eye.
So I've got thousands of videotapes.
Chris Dorch is the founder of Chattanooga's Mise-en-Scenesters Film Club.
It was a great format. I really love it. It's really nostalgic for me in all the right ways. It's how I started my first movie collection, you know?
Talk about the things that make a VHS tape nostalgic.
You know,
for you.
I'll tell you, the big thing for me was like, when VHS first came out, they didn't think, all right, these boxes need to be small, so a few more of them can fit on a shelf. They had these huge, gaudy, insanely large cardboard boxes that the tapes would be inside. And the art, especially for stuff like stuff that's featured in Rewind This, these great direct-to-video films or these like self-distributed horror films, like a great example is The Video Dead, if you ever saw that movie. And they just had these unbelievably crazy, you know, pieces of poster and cover art. Just, I loved the kind of sensationalism of VHS tapes and sort of that gaudy marketing. It's just a little more P.T. Barnum than DVD ever got a chance to go.
I think that everyone forgot how awesome a painted cover is with of a dude with a shirt off holding a machine gun. Why would you take a photo of that when you can paint a beautiful portrait of it?
A lot of them I picked just on the cover art.
Malone!
That's a cover buy. Have I watched it? I'm not gonna lie to you until you have watched this movie, but if this happens somewhere in it, then it's a good movie.
Also, there's something to be said about something so large, you could kill a small child with this. Like, you could bludgeon somebody to death with this.
That was a handful when you bought one of those. And it left a lot of space for a really good artist to actually create something that in itself was a work of art.
The documentary Rewind This also sheds light on video preservation, as many VHSs have yet to be converted digitally. Josh Johnson, the director of the documentary, says it's an issue the public should be considering.
But the problem is that you're really dependent upon, at this point, you know, private collectors and things like that, you know, to access that material. So it's a matter of finding a way to get some kind of institution in place that can bridge the gap between the archival world and the world of the collectors to, you know, work together to somehow do this. And, you know, we've seen that happen with film preservation. You know, a lot of these prints come from private collectors and, you know, end up, you know, in certain libraries or certain archives, and they're properly cataloged and properly preserved. But the issue with video is that its lifespan is a lot shorter than celluloid.
I'm talking about VHS, but I only have videotapes because that's the way that I can find that movie. And if that came out in a different manner, like if that was available on a DVD or only on Blu-ray, I'd watch it.
I mean, now that I'm a film programmer, I'm more aware there's films where the filmmaker doesn't have any other materials. So essentially, until somebody finds a negative, finds a print, the best source in the world is a VHS, which is a little scary.
So after you filmed this documentary, and now since it's being screened all over the country, Has maybe some ideas about VHS shifted from your perspective?
It hasn't really changed my perception of VHS at all, but one of the things that's been really rewarding is finding that this subject appeals to a broader range of people than I might have suspected. You know, all age groups, you know, people from, you know, any certain part are identifying and connecting with the film. And my concern, you know, in making it is that it might be a sort of film that just sort of like preaches to the converted, you know, that it would appeal to people that were already knowledgeable and interested in this subject. And I'm finding that it actually seems to be working for a lot of people that aren't familiar with this or don't, you know, have that kind of nostalgia or maybe weren't even alive at the time when most of the stuff we're discussing was happening. And that's been really interesting to find that, you know, the home video revolution and the impact of videotape is something that, you know, if presented in the right way, can be meaningful to a lot of people and not just a group that's already predisposed to be interested in that subject.
VHS kind of, I think, taught a lot of people about the nature of film, the nature of editing, the nature of sound, and how those things matter. Not on purpose, but on accident. Like, oh, okay, so this tape is falling apart. Well, why is it doing that? Oh, because it's a physical medium. Oh, why is that? Oh, because it's just magnetic oxide stuck to a tape in a predetermined pattern.
Rewind This has its Chattanooga screening Friday night at Barking Legs Theater at 8:30 p.m. It's a mise-en-scenesters event. For more information on the film, you can visit rewindthismovie.com. For WUTC, I'm Garrett Crowe.